Well, I just want to say that I'm back. I'm back.
Amen.
I'm back.
Amen.
I appreciate, I want to thank each and every one of our guest speakers that spoke over the last month. Reverend Young, Reverend, I just went totally blank, Reverend Gwen Shepherd, Reverend Andre Beasley, and our very own Reverend Louise Watson, who stepped up and gave of their time that I may have some time to just refresh and rejuvenate and take some time for me.
Amen.
Which is a good thing. Sometimes we just gotta take some time. That's why God took and gave us the seventh day. He gave us the Sabbath. It wasn't for him. It wasn't that he was tired. He knew that we would be tired, that we needed to refresh ourselves. And that's why it's important that we take time for ourselves and rejuvenate ourselves so that we can continue on doing what he has for us to do. I'm okay. It might be somebody else, but I am just praising him today and saying, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to the message, but God has something else going on right here. He's telling me that it's a day that we're supposed to rest. And we got this point that in society today that we got to go 7 days a week. We got to go 48 hours a day. But you know what? There's not 48 hours in a day. He gave us 24. And he said of those 24, we need to rest. Now, you know what? Yeah. Sometimes we just preach to ourselves. I'll raise my hand. I'm preaching to myself today. But God said that we need to rest.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need to stop what we're doing and rest in his bosom.
Yeah.
I know all of y'all can think back and remember a day that when you wasn't feeling well, you climbed up in your mama's lap and laid there, and next thing you know, you were sleeping. A couple hours had gone by because it was so relaxing. Because when you were little, you could hear just laying on mama's chest, and you could hear her heartbeat, and that rhythmic beat just carried you on and carried you on through all the pains and things that you were feeling. See, I'm speaking for myself today. See, I remember those days that I crawled up in mama's lap. I remember the days that my children crawled up in my lap and when they weren't feeling well. And that's how I knew they weren't feeling well, because they were up in my lap and they just sit there. They didn't say they weren't feeling well. They just said, they just crawled up there, and I knew that something was wrong. In the middle of the night, when they came and they just said, Daddy. You see, our daddy knows when we need to rest. And my wife will tell you that if I don't take that resting period that God has allowed me, and I keep moving and moving and moving, eventually he's going to say, you know what, I told you to rest. Now let me help you out a minute. And I usually end up in the hospital where I got no choice but to rest. So I'm just telling you today that God is in control. All this technology we have, all this stuff that's supposed to make our life so much easier, and yet we're burning the candle at all three ends.
Yeah.
And now I know some of y'all sitting out there thinking, but the candle only has two ends. But we got to try to light it in the middle, so that we can have more time in the day. It's not good for us. It's not good for us. You know, I want you to think for a minute. I'm trying to get into the sermon here. But think for a minute. Have you ever been told or asked to do something, maybe by a friend, maybe by a sibling, maybe by a parent, maybe by your boss? Or it may have been God who asked you to do something. Recently, it could have been the authorities telling you to evacuate the area where the fires are coming, or evacuate where the floods are about to hit. And you just come up with a million reasons why you just can't do what they're asking you to do, or why you won't do what they're asking you to do. or why you can't move right then. The thing of the matter is that those folks in those fire regions, those folks in the flood regions, when they tell you to move, you just got to do it. Don't stop and say, well, I got to take this, and I need to get this, and I need to take this, and I got to get this together. No, you should have already had it together in an emergency pack so that when those times came, you just grab that pack and be gone. When you see the fire on the other side of the hill, don't wait till it gets to your side of the hill. Move. Just do it.
Just do it.
You see, and that is the title of my message today. Just do it. You see, I want to take you to I want to take you to Exodus verse chapter 4 verses 19 and 20. And this is what it says. Okay. Turn up the volume.
All the men who sought your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand.
All those that sought your life are dead. I got a mission for you. I've already cleared the path. All you've got to do is just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to take a little walk with me through the passage of Scripture today. As we begin, I need to give you a little history lesson. So if you're walking with me through your Bible, you got your Bible in your hand, and I hope you do, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, where we find a few interesting tidbits that we can chew on as we go through the day. You see, the first tidbit is that Moses encounters God. You see, and this is a long passage, but I want to read it. You see, Moses is out tending the flock of his father-in-law. And I'll just read the text. I think I got it here. You see, it says, now Moses is tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Hebron, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppressed of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's a whole lots of land. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and have also seen, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. You see, God had a mission. God had a mission for Moses. So that's our second tidbit. That God had a mission. And that's from Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. And it says this. He says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, you know, God just gave him a directive. It wasn't a request. It was a command. Come now. Just do it. Get up and do it. Just do it. But Moses came up with a couple excuses here. Moses says, as we continue to read, Moses starts making excuses. Verses 3:11 says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?' And God's response was, 'I will be with you.'" As I read from verse 12, it says, "Certainly, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign that you, sign to you, that it is I who have sent you, that you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall worship God at this mountain." You'd think that'd be a reason enough for him to get up and go, but it wasn't. He had another excuse. His second excuse was, "They might question who you are." In verse 14 through 17, God says this to Moses. He says, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations." I'm reading from verse 16. It says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt." Verse 17 says, "So I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of Canaanite, to of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Now God's directly talking to Moses, and Moses still has another excuse why he shouldn't do it. He says, "What if they still don't believe me?" And God said, "Here's a few signs to show you." In verse 9, it says, What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." Then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Verse 5 says that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Verse 6 says, the Lord furthermore said to him, put out your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom, and then he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Verse 8 says, if they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last. Verse 9, but if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile, pour it on dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Moses is still of that opinion. I just ain't gonna do it. So his next excuse is, but I'm not an eloquent speaker. Verse 10 says, then Moses said to God, to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recent nor in the time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God's not buying these excuses. God said, the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who made his mute or deaf, see or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Verse 12. Now then, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Moses finally gets to that point. He says, but I just can't do it. As we continue to walk, chapter 4, verse 13 says, but he said, Lord, please, now send the message by whomever you will. I just can't do it. You know, it makes me think of Jesus in Matthew 26 and 39. When he asked God that if it's possible, let this assignment pass from him. But Jesus knew that it could not. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And Jesus accepted his assignment and died for you and I. You see, God even had a response to Moses when he said, I just can't do it. God's response is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? You shall work as a team. But if I go on and read the scripture, starting in verse 14, it says, then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. You see, after all these excuses, I can't believe that it took this long for God to be angry. It was burning. It was like, come on, I've given you everything that you've asked, and here you still are saying you can't do it. And so God said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently and Moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Verse 15, you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Verse 16, moreover, he said, I shall speak to you, speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. Verse 17, you shall take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs. Now, it doesn't say here, but I'm kind of putting myself there. If it was me and I knew God's anger was coming at me, I would do as Moses. And Moses finally, no more excuses. He just said, I'll do it. Moses has no more excuses and accepts his assignment from God. If we continue to read in verse 18, Moses departs and returns to Jethro, his father-in-law, and says to him, please, let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and mounted them on donkeys and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hands. You see, I just want to remind you, God was working through Moses. He worked through Moses for 40 plus years. You see, God worked through Moses to free the sons of Israel and to lead them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. God did just what he said he would do. So as I close today, I just want to point out the bottom line here. And this is your life application for today. First, stop making excuses. When God says go, go. Just do it. A promise that God has made to each of us. God said he will never give you more than you can handle. Trust me, I know. I've lived it. I've experienced it. God will never give you more than you can handle. Again, refusing to accept your assignment from God is rebellion. Let me say that again. Refusing to accept your assignment is rebellion. When God says do it, go do it. He's got your back. He's got your front. He knew from the day that he thought about sending you to earth, he knew that that day would come. And he had already set everything in motion. You see, the God I know, the God that loves me, would never send me anywhere that I was not prepared.
Amen.
You see, let me tell you what rebellion is. Rebellion is disobedient to God's will.
Yeah.
When you say no, when you hesitate, when you say, let me go bury the dead, God has already given you a time frame, and you are being rebellious. You're being disobedient. God told you to do it, go do it. Now, on the other hand, let me put it this. Obedience is in accepting God's will for your life. I'm going to be quiet for a moment and let that sink in. Obedience is accepting God's will for your life. You know, many of us when we pray, we recite all or part of the Lord's Prayer. We say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Do we really believe it when we say to the Lord, Let thy will be done? Or are we just reciting something that we learned a few years ago? I'm just not sure. We speak it with our mouths, but do we mean it with our hearts? Look, God has a plan for each of His children. That's each one of us has an assignment in life. But some of us are just too plain stubborn to allow His will to be done in us or through us. Listen to me. God loves you and me. He only wants the best for each of His special children. And I'll raise both of my hands because I know that I'm special. I'm special to Him. The bottom line is this. God's will be done.
Amen.
If not through you, then through someone else. It's your choice. Stop wasting so much of your energy making up excuses as to why you can't do what He's asked you to do, and use that energy to just do it. Just do it. Stop using wasting your energy and just do it, because you're going to do it either anyway. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your kindness, your gentleness. We thank you, Lord, for your long suffering as we stand by and give you excuse after excuse after excuse as to why we can't do something, when we really just need to say, we won't do it. We don't want to do it. We need to be truthful with ourselves and know that you are God, that you are in control, and you've already prepared us for whatever you have for us. So, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you for the sunshine. Lord, we ask you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, to watch over those that are in the fire zones, to watch over those in the flood zones. We ask you, Lord God, we know that you've already prepared them. Let them step forward and do what you've asked them to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray.